Cool. Well, good morning, everyone. It's always such a great pleasure to have the opportunity to come before you and go through a little bit of stuff that I've been studying, just in my personal time, to go through things I may be struggling with. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. One of my favorite things to do whenever I have the chance to lead a sermon or lead a lesson is to take things that I've been struggling with in my life personally and use it as an opportunity to study on the subject and get a good grasp of what the Bible says about that subject, and then to talk to you about what I saw and what I think. And so my life has been pretty busy recently between doing landscaping at a country club over the summer and then jumping back into the mix of school, going back to college, taking some big boy classes out at Lane in the math department. It's been pretty scary. It's been pretty intimidating. But lots of doors have opened since then. Lots of opportunities have made themselves known, which has been really cool. So this morning I'm going to talk about embracing uncertainty and finding your faith within the unknown that comes from that. Like I was talking about, the changes in career and education that I've had over the last several years, different injuries that I've had happen to me, they've definitely changed my perspective in life, and they've really forced me to think about what I want out of my life, think about what future I want for my family in the future, and what it's going to look like. And I really want to think about the concept of uncertainty and its prevalence in our lives. I feel like in our society today, it's really easy to fall into the mix of things, fall into the rush of society. Whether you are an avid news watcher, they put a big headline up of your favorite celebrity did this, or the war is going on around the world, and your jaw drops to the floor. You can't believe this person said this thing while they were speaking, and you're just constantly shocked and you're scared about what's going on in the news, and it affects your whole life. Your relationships with your family diminish because you're stressed and you're anxious about all the things that are going on in the world over things that you really can't control and you can't do anything about. Whether you're on social media and you're constantly scrolling through social media and you see what people are saying, it feels like everybody, when they're on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, whatever it may be, they are a little bit more confident in what they say than they are when they're in person. People are more willing to say how they feel in a negative way when they're online than in person, and that can lead to a lot of anxiety in people. That can lead to a lot of depression in people. And I think it's important that we recognize that and we understand that when we get caught up in those moments of fear and uncertainty, that we look to the right places for comfort and guidance. We're going to start out with the nature of uncertainty. Turn with me over to the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs, we're going to look at chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 1, and then we'll go through verse 3, and then jump down to, we'll just go through verse 6. Why not? Again, Proverbs 3, starting at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but have your heart comply with my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and a good reputation in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I feel like it's important that we think about the emotions and the fears that uncertainty can evoke. When we lean on our own understanding, we don't have anything close to the full picture of life when we think about situations where we're scared of. When you are feeling that fear, anxiety, what emotions are you feeling? What emotions are coming out of that? Are you feeling angry? Are you feeling sad? Are you somebody that isolates yourself when you're in those moments of anxiety? Me personally, I notice whenever I'm feeling anxious or scared about the future or uncertain, I isolate myself. And Sophie does a great job of telling me when I'm not doing a good enough job of maybe opening up about how I'm feeling. And so using those moments as an opportunity to reflect on your emotions is a really good thing. Uncertainty is a natural part of life, and it often arises from our limited understanding. Look to God and look to His Word and understand that He has the full picture. He sees everything, and we need to trust in His plan because those moments of fear and uncertainty really arise when our plans don't go according like we thought they would. And so when we lean on His understanding and we lean on what He would have us to do, that's when we can really feel that peace that we are searching for. Turn with me over to Hebrews 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start at verse 1. Again, Hebrews 1, starting at verse 1. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things. Oh my goodness, I'm in Hebrews chapter 1. I want to be in Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, my apologies. Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 1. I was reading it and I was thinking, this does not sound at all like what I looked at last night. Okay, Hebrews 11, starting at verse 1. Now, faith is the certainty of things hoped for, a proof of things not seen. For by it, the people of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the world has been created by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out things that are visible. And now jump down to verse 6 with me. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he proves to be one who rewards those who seek him. If you continue to go through that chapter, we see a lot of different characters in the Bible. And it says, by faith, this person did this. By faith, this person did this. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Moses did this, and talks a lot about Joseph as well. I feel like Joseph is one of the premier examples of living your life, trusting in God no matter what uncertainty that you have. I mean, he was sold into slavery by his own family. That is absolutely ridiculous to me. Especially, I feel like Joseph is a character in the Bible that is special to me because he was such a young man when he was had all these trials come upon him. And so it's really reassuring to see a young person in the Bible go through those trials and come out a better Christian in God's eyes. It's so important that we trust in God's greater plan even when life feels uncertain. Turn just a couple chapters over with me to Hebrews 13. Now we're going to start at verse 5. Hebrews 13, starting at verse 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever abandon you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? We need to praise God. He is forever. He has done so much for us in this life. He has given us an opportunity to follow him even when life feels crazy, even when things feel insane, even when we don't know how things are going to unfold. He is going to be there for us, and we can have that assurance. Go down to verse 15 of that same chapter. Through him, then, let's continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips praising his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who give an account, so that they may do this with joy, not groaning, for this would be unhelpful for you. It's so, I mean, I fall victim to this so much when we are angry at our political leaders or angry at your boss or maybe your teacher at school because they aren't doing what you think they should be doing. It's easy to become frustrated and angry in those situations, but understand that God put that person in that position for a reason. God, nothing in this life would happen without God's permission. And it is through those trials and through those tribulations that we go through that we can become better Christians in his sight. The primary example, I initially was going to talk a little bit about Job. And then we started talking in the Ecclesiastes class about Jesus. And I feel like Jesus is really the greatest example of following God even when life feels uncertain. Think about when he was praying in the garden and he talked to God and he said, God, if it is your will, please let this cup pass from me. Jesus was scared. Jesus understood the sheer torment, torture that he was going to go through, even though he was completely blameless, even though he wasn't going to have to, even though he didn't have to pay for any sins, he understood the pain that he was about to endure. But above all that, he wanted God's will to be fulfilled, and it was. Now turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. In Philippians, chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 6. And think about the idea of finding peace when we're going through that uncertainty when we read this. Again, Philippians, chapter 4, starting at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and leading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That is a fantastic verse because it really talks about the power of prayer. It talks about the power of having a relationship with God and being willing to humble yourself and give your struggles to him. I've been thinking a lot about prayer and its impact in our lives. And regardless of what you believe, whether you believe that prayer has a more physical aspect to our lives or a more spiritual aspect to our lives, it cannot be denied that when we pray to God about our struggles, we will find peace and understanding through that. When we give ourselves to him and we humble ourselves to him, then we will feel that comfort and that peace. When you're feeling that anxiety or that stress, that worry in those situations, like I talked a little bit about earlier, think about how you're displaying that in your actions. When you're going through your life and you are isolating yourself or you're feeling upset or angry, how are you treating those around you in your relationships with people? I kind of use that as an indicator for when I'm feeling the most anxiety in my life. For example, I've had a few midterms come up this past weekend, and I just finished my last one last night. And it feels very good to get that weight off my shoulders for a few weeks until my next midterm. But in those moments, I realized that I was completely fine with hunkering down at my desk with all my books and my laptop and just kind of isolating myself. And I kind of had to take a moment and realize that I was doing that, because if I just let myself live in that feeling of anxiety and that isolation, then I'm not only going to stunt the growth of the relationships with those around me, but I'm also going to stunt my growth with God. And that's really what's truly important is when we isolate ourselves because we're feeling that fear and that anxiety, then we're only drawing ourselves away from God. And that's the last thing that we should be doing in those moments. So now that we've talked a little bit about feeling that anxiety within and on a much more personal level, let's think about what it means when we have those around us that are struggling. It's so important that we understand that those around us are going to struggle as well. We are all in this together. When we are going through life and we see those struggling, we see people that are, maybe they're not in the pews every single Sunday because they're anxious. Maybe they're not living a life that we think is, in accordance with God's will. How are we reacting to that? Are we turning our nose up to them? Are we judging them? Are we talking behind their back about them? I think it's really important that we understand how we talk to those around us in those moments, because when you're feeling anxious and somebody comes up and criticizes you, or maybe you hear that someone's criticizing you behind your back, it can be really devastating and it can make you feel like you don't want a relationship with that person. And that can cause people to not want to come on Sundays or come to the Zoom meetings throughout the week because of that fear of judgment and that fear of criticism. And I just feel like it's so important that we understand the way that we talk to people and the way that we talk about people is going to impact their relationship with God as well. Turn with me over to the book of James, chapter 4. In James chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 11. And this really speaks to what I've been talking about with how we treat other people. Again, James chapter 4, starting at verse 11. Do not speak against one another, brothers and sisters. The one who speaks against a brother or a sister or judges his brother or sister speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and a judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But who are you judging your neighbor? It's so important that we think about how we talk about other people or talk to other people. When we talk negatively as followers of Christ, we are called to walk alongside those who are lost, showing them love and support rather than judgment. When we judge others, in my opinion, we are tearing them away from God. We are planting a seed of doubt or a seed of anxiety in their minds, which will negatively impact their relationship with God. And now, finally, I want to think about embracing uncertainty as a growth opportunity. Turn with me just a couple of chapters back to James chapter 1. We're going to read starting at verse 2. And this is going to be a little bit of a lengthy reading, but bear with me. You know, you get these passages and they sound great and you don't want to cut them off because you want them to keep going. They're doing so good explaining what you want to explain. So James chapter 1, starting at verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that person ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. Now, the brother or sister of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, but the rich person is to glory in his humiliation. Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises and the scorching and its scorching heat and withers the grass, and the flowers fall off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So the rich person, in the midst of his pursuits, will die out. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. No one is going to say when he is tempted, "I'm being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it has run its course, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will he gave in, excuse me, in the exercise of his will, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Think about the example of Jesus that I brought up earlier. If Jesus would have been in that garden and prayed to God and said, "God, I love you. I'm so sorry, but I can't go through with it. I know I've done great up to this point. I've preached. I've brought so many to you, but I can't bring myself to sacrifice when I've done nothing. I've been without reproach. There's no way that you can condemn me to be sacrificed." If Jesus would have had that short-term memory, all of us today would be doomed. All of us today would have zero hope of salvation one day. But because Jesus followed through with that sacrifice, because he understood that long-term vision that God had, he was willing to put his trust in his Father and sacrifice himself for us so that we could one day be in heaven with him. We are given that opportunity, each and every single one of us, because of that. And I think that's pretty amazing. When we are in those moments of uncertainty, we have one of two options. We can either grow closer to God, or we can become distant from him. And think about the last time that you were feeling anxious. Think about the last time you were feeling that fear and that uncertainty of your situation. After that, were you feeling closer to God or were you feeling farther away? So in conclusion, we talked about a lot of different topics, but we talked about the nature of uncertainty, how we cannot lean on our own understanding or we are doomed to fail. We talked a lot about the role of faith and how faith is the antidote to doubt and fear in the face of uncertainty. We need to trust in God's plan. We need to praise him. He is forever. We need to obey our leaders and subject ourselves to them, regardless of how we feel about it. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. He is the ultimate example of what it means to follow through, regardless of that fear and anxiety you may be feeling. I just want to encourage you to trust in God's plan, find peace in prayer and gratitude, and view uncertainty as an opportunity of growth. We're all in this together. We're all going to go through trials and situations that we feel like we are not going to be able to get through alone. And that's the beauty of it, is none of us are going to have to get through any of our trials alone. Not only do we have our friends, our family, this congregation, but we also have our God. We have him to lean on when we don't understand, when we don't know what life is going to look like in the end. If you are feeling like you have been struggling with those trials, if you feel like you can't get through that alone, understand you don't have to bear the weight of that by yourself. You have a family here. You have a congregation here who is willing to help you and accept you free of judgment.